Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2018. It is July 26th. It is 8:38 p.m. on the East Coast time, and that's where my co-host Alex Kozora is, fresh off his first trip to Latrobe of 2018. Alex, happy Thursday. Man, it seems, I don't know where the year's gone. I guess I'm almost 50. I've had about 30 doctor visits kind of crammed in this summer. Maybe that's what's made this offseason go by fast. But, man, it just seems like we just got done with these. And here we are, Episode 1, Special Edition of Training Camp 2018. How was Latrobe?
It was fantastic, Dave. And yeah, your doctor's visit is like your training camp, your 30 practices. Man, I don't know. I feel like this offseason went slow, at least for me. I was dying to get to camp. I think maybe the only person more excited to go to Latrobe today was Mike Tomlin. I think I'm in second place.
Much like Ben Roethlisberger, I'm going to declare that I'm in the best shape of my career.
Are you cutting out, what do you cut out, carbs and sugars?
Pretty damn close, man. These doctors have me doing it all. Alex, I found out today someone sent me a DM and said somebody on Reddit does not like my voice. Can you believe that?
People don't like you? What?
They don't That's like new. Some people don't like me, and they don't like my voice either. Can you? I've been doing this for what, 9 years?
Nine?
Now?
Yep.
I can't believe it. And some people say I stutter. Do you believe that?
I've never heard that one before.
Never heard that either. All right, look, enough with the games here. I mean, we've got a lot to get to. I mean, we go from really not having anything to talk about to man, can we cram it all into 30 minutes? And then, you know, going to have a follow-up podcast with David Todd on Friday, normal time as well. Initial thoughts. What were your initial thoughts? I should probably save this for last, but what was your overlying general kind of, you know, thoughts of the day?
I mean, maybe it's a little cliche because I'm sure that 31 other camps are saying the same thing, Dave, but I think versatility and flexibility was some of the key pieces and some of the new and newish faces on this team, whether that's Vance McDonald, who, you know, I think the reports of Randy Feitner using their tight ends in space more often, splitting those guys out. I mean, I know it's only day one, but that seems to be true. You're seeing a lot more of that than I saw under Todd Haley. You're seeing Jalen Samuels get involved in a variety of ways. You're seeing Cam Sutton play a couple different spots at cornerback. So just guys being able to move around, shift around, and be able to plug in at, you know, if you're McDonald, inline tight end, in the slot, out, isolated at the bottom, Jalen Samuels back, slot, outside, Cam Sutton, slot, left cornerback, probably right cornerback. So you're just seeing guys that can wear a lot of hats that hopefully you can, on a week-by-week basis, go through a game plan and say, where do these guys match up best against their team or what have you. So I think that's the thing that has me excited the most, is just that versatility and thinking about all the ways they can use some of the guys on this roster.
I'm not used to doing these at nighttime, so I probably forgot to tell the listeners who I am. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com. I'm the guy that stutters that has the very irritating voice. If you just are now
the great Dave Bryan,
if you are just now finding all this out, welcome to the show.
It's basically how it goes on a show-to-show basis.
Yeah, really, really. Okay, let's get to the kind of the housekeeping first, and you know, we've had, you know, a few transactions already at the start of camp here. First and foremost, you know, as soon as I remove Eli Rogers from my 53-man roster prediction, thinking that he might not be back, going to make visits to Kansas City, Cleveland, Oakland, he shows up for reporting day as a visitor. The Steelers sign him right away to a one-year deal. That afternoon, Mike Tomlin announced that he's going on active PUP. Probably not a big surprise, being as the injury that he's coming off of. He's obviously close enough that they know, you know, they were able to monitor his rehab at UPMC. We saw videos throughout the offseason, I think, of him running actually at the Steelers' indoor facility there as well, too. So, look, I mean, it's not a huge shock he's back. They're a better team depth-wise, having an experienced guy with like him back in the fold right now, as opposed to not having him. He obviously is not going to practice right away. No timetable on when he is, but he's going to start off on active PUP. And first and foremost, there's nothing wrong with the move, right?
No, and I think it would have been not wrong, I guess, but a bummer had he signed elsewhere, because I think that's depth that you really want to and kind of need to have just in case someone else goes down. You know, the slot options before Rodgers got signed were a little bleak. I mean, you had Juju, and then behind that, I mean, what if something happened with Juju? Who are you running out there? Tucker, Darius Hayward Bay? Not a lot of great options out there. So Rodgers can bring you that. He can bring you something in the punt return game, because you're not quite sure who your punt returner would be if the season started today. It'd probably be Antonio Brown, and I'm okay with that, but I know the Steelers want to get him off that unit. So hopefully he gets up to speed pretty quickly. The benefit, of course, circling back to Pittsburgh, is he knows the playbook for the most part. They know him. It's not like he's going to a brand new team where he's trying to pick everything else up while trying to get healthy as well.
You heard David Todd and I talking, Britt. You know, we went down a 25-minute rabbit hole.
The longest conversation on Eli Rogers.
For a guy not on the roster. Well, yeah. You know, look, I mean, it ended up being, I guess, a worthwhile conversation because he's back now. But, I mean, you know, look, I was, you know, I'm not down on Eli Rogers. I mean, I liked him coming out of Louisville. I watched a lot of tape of him coming out, route running and all like that. But, I mean, the things that I hit on with him are true. I mean, he's a good route runner, not a physical guy, not a combative catch guy. He does have some catch radius to him. That's, you know, a nice catch radius to him. And he's also not a yak guy. So, I mean, he's going to have to earn a roster spot, plain and simple, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you consider Rodgers a lock, or I'm guessing no?
I mean, I don't consider him a lock, man. I like his chances more than I don't, you know, more than I don't like his chances. I mean, here we, I mean, we're talking about a guy that, I mean, look, are we going to see both Eli Rogers and Justin Hunter on the 53? Probably. I mean, if unless something goes wrong, maybe you wouldn't think that. I mean, here we were talking ahead of time about a guy like Marcus Tucker, you know, being a guy. I mean, if Eli Rogers affects anybody with his re-signing, I think first and foremost it has to be a guy like Tucker, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I could see a scenario where you get Rogers and Hunter on the roster, even without injury. You know, you carry six because they like Hunter. They're different skill sets. Hunter is a height, weight, speed kind of guy. Rogers is a smaller, shiftier slot guy. So I could see that, but I can't see a scenario where you keep both Rogers and Tucker. They're cut from the same cloth.
Right, right. I mean, look, I, you know, people know how I feel about Justin Hunter. He's a good camp player, and look, maybe a full off season with Randy Feeder. Mike Thomas sure seems to like him. You know,
757 kid, Newport Beach.
You get those kids from that area. Mike Thomas has a soft spot for. But I mean, Justin Hunter just does not give you anything on special teams, and quite honestly, unless he's returning punts, Eli Rogers doesn't either. You know,
right. But at least Roger gives you that. I shouldn't say that Tucker and Rogers are completely the same guy, because Tucker can wear more hats. He can play on the outside. He can be a gunner. He can be a kick coverage guy. He can be a kick returner and maybe punt returner as well. But I'm sure you get my point that they're generally kind of the same guy.
I tell you, that a kid, you know, a lot of listeners probably really rooting for this kid being a local pit boy and all. Eli Rogers' comeback really hurts Quadre Henderson.
Yeah, just another guy to steal reps from. I mean, it's so tough to make it as a return man in this day and age. I mean, you're not training camp in practice. You can't really get a feel. I mean, you're doing technique stuff, getting square, and that's important, but you got to earn it in game. And I mean, if you're getting 3 or 4 punt returns in a preseason and a kickoff, I mean, how are you going to make a roster that way? So, yeah, really tough for Quadre Henderson.
All right, let's finish up the housekeeping there. And, you know, you have to have a reciprocal move to go along anytime you bring a guy back. And I posted on Twitter, I said, man, yeah, you got to hate it for one of the – we didn't know at the time what the move was going to be. But, you know, you go all offseason on the 90-man roster. You show up at training camp and time to go home. You know, and that, and essentially that person going home was Trey Johnson. Even though he's probably, he waived injured with a shoulder injury. He did not run during a conditioning test, according to Mike Tomlin, because of some sort of shoulder injury. Waived injured. That transaction officially hit the NFL sheet today, so I would expect him to clear waivers tomorrow and then revert back to the Steelers IR, and then we'll see if they work out a settlement with him or if he stays there on a split salary at that point. But he was the kind of reciprocal move, and also during the conditioning test, not passing it was Bryce Harris, and put one in the win column for my boy Jake Rogers. Not really my boy, but a guy that you know, I watched a lot of Bryce Harris. I knew who Bryce Harris was when the Steelers signed him. Watched some of his film. I didn't have the warm fuzzy about him. Not that I have a huge warm fuzzy about Jake Rogers either, but I kind of leaned a little bit more to Rogers as well too. Well, lo and behold, how does Bryce Harris, a guy that's been around the league this long, show up to Latrobe and not pass the conditioning test?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super disappointing. And I know he was signed, you know, midway through OTAs, but you have a whole, you know, 2 months to get ready. Inexcusable, and showing the door today.
Yes, he was shown the door and taking his place on the roster, and this doesn't seem fair either. Another Villanova kid played with, I tell you, sometimes this thing, you probably can't script these things to go like this, but Malik Reeves out of Villanova, who you know, Trey, you know, I'm sure he didn't have to introduce himself to Trey Johnson as the two passed each other there, but he is now signed to a one-year deal. Bryce Harris was waived with released outright with the designation of non-football illness. They actually call it termination of a vested or of a veteran player when it's a situation like Bryce Harris there. So Harris gone. That evened out the numbers now on the offensive line. Malik Reeves in, basically a swap for Trey Johnson there, and then Eli Rogers on PUP. Overall, I think when you look at, you know, the health of this team entering camp with just one guy going on PUP, you have to be thrilled, especially when you look around the league at some of these names going on PUP. Boy, look at the Bengals and Tyler Eifert there and all. So I think a good start health-wise there. And do I have all the housekeeping done?
Yeah, I think you do. And then the funny thing with Reeves is that he's taking Trey Johnson's number as well, 38. So it's the same. It's Villanova 38 corner coming in to replace 38 Villanova corner, which is kind of crazy. You could see some more moves coming, though. Parker Collins, I know Tomlin didn't mention it today, but carted off, looked like a right knee they were working on. If he's not going to be available soon, they're down to 14 offensive linemen, and they, you know, that's not even three sets of five, and they like to give Pouncey and Foster days off. So I wouldn't be shocked if sometime tomorrow morning, early afternoon, they're making another roster move and bringing in offensive linemen.
Yeah, you have to know they have that Rolodex right now, ready to go. And unfortunately, that's a byproduct of once you get into camp, and heck, they're not even in pads yet, still football in shorts for the next couple of days here. But you hate to see guys like that go down. Parker Collins, I think, was added. When was he added? June 4th, 5th, right around in there. Him and Cheek and seemed like one other offensive lineman were added around that same time there. Collins, I think, according to your tweets this morning or this afternoon, Alex, was actually running second team center because B.J. Finney was getting him some work at left guard. I think this is a great time to kind of segue. Let's get into talking about the offensive line. Tell us about who was running where, and then, you know, player two, whatever you want to talk about standing out.
Yeah, again, this whole podcast won't be much about standing out or even guys that are playing poorly, because it's one day of practice. It's shorts and shells. I know you know that. I'm sure most of the people listening know that, but just a preface at the top. But I'll give you the lines. The first team, you know, Villanueva, Foster, Pouncey, DeCastro, Gilbert. No surprise there. Second team, Chukwuma Okorafor, left tackle, B.J. Finney, left guard, Parker Collins until he got hurt, center, Matt Filer, right guard, Jake Rogers with the all-important second team, right tackle, get more reps for him. And then the third team, Joseph Cheek at left tackle, Chris Schluger at left guard, Patrick Morris at center, he elevated the second team center when Collins went down, Larson Graham at right guard, and R.J. Prince, curious where they were going to use him, it's going to be as third team right tackle.
Yeah, that is a bit curious there, and it'd be interesting to see if Prince at some point gets some guard work, right?
Yeah, he played mostly guard at North Carolina. Now, in tryouts, they listed Prince as a tackle with his site. Right now, he's an offensive lineman. So, you know, he was kind of a tackle at the beginning stages of his Tar Heels career, mostly played interior. He's a bigger body, so you can kind of see why they want him a tackle. But, yeah, it wouldn't shock me to see him play both at some point once they start moving these guys around.
And it's still early, but, you know, I joked about Jake Rogers, but it's kind of a huge win for him right now, at least get, you know, at the start of camp, right?
Yeah, no, it's not a joke. I mean, you're completely right about that. To be go from second team instead of third team. He was third team last year. I mean, you get a handful of reps in camp and in a game, a drive, maybe two drives if you're lucky. You're getting if you're third team. So to be second team, you know, with what happened with Bryce Harris, that's huge for Jake Rogers just to get reps, make mistakes, get better, impress coaches.
Rattle off that third team offensive line left to right, right again.
you mean to rattle it off again?
Yeah, left to right.
Joseph Cheek at left tackle, Chris Schluger at left guard, Patrick Morris at center, Larson Graham right guard, and then RJ Prince at right tackle.
Oh, we're going to see a lot of that 2 weeks from tonight, aren't we?
I'm excited, man. I'll give me some Larson Graham, some RJ Prince. I'm me and you only guys that care about this.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of that. I've seen some Cheek, obviously. The left guard,
Schluger.
Yeah, that's one that I probably haven't hit the tape like I should have yet on him. I know a lot about Prince as well, too, there. So, okay, anything else you want to talk about the offensive line position?
I mean, not a lot there, but just to go back to Schluger for people, because I'm sure most people don't know who he is. He was a left tackle. He was at Northern Iowa, played left tackle there for a year, and then he came to UAB and kicked inside a guard. And he's got to have a high football IQ, because in the couple games I watched to him, they were literally moving Schluger between left guard and right guard, not only just during the game, but during a drive, he would switch between left and right guard. So, I mean, that's got to be crazy for a lineman. So he's got that super guard versatility, and that's going to help him out a little bit.
How excited are you about Matt Filer?
I'm excited. I mean, this is another, you know, diamond in the rough. I mean, he's probably not going to be, you know, Villanueva, might not even get to the Hubbard status, but a guy that, you know, from Bloomsburg, a D2 school, Steelers claim him on waivers, Munchak coaches him up. Now he's basically a lock to make the roster. I'm just excited to learn more about him. Maybe he gets some center snaps, especially now that Collins has gone down. Maybe that opens the door for some third team work. It's an awesome story. He's played well in the past and there's opportunities. And, yeah, I'm excited to watch him.
All right, tight ends, you hit on a little bit of it at the top of the show. Boy, we've said this all off season, and really since the Steelers, you know, eliminated from the playoffs against Jacksonville with that 10-catch game that he had there. Man, if Vance McDonald, you know, big if Vance McDonald can stay healthy, this is a guy. Man, I hate to talk about him so much in case I end up in a fantasy league with somebody, because this is a guy that I'm going to kind of try to target late, you know, as a second, you know, tight end. This is a guy that I think, you know, could have a good year under you know, with Randy Feetner and all like that. And you've already written and talked a little bit about how you think they're going to be able to use him in space, and I think you tweeted this morning you're already seeing a little bit of that already, even, you know, football in shorts.
Yeah, again, you know, I know that it is football in shorts, but it's about where guys line up and choo-choo, Dave. Let's get on this Vance McDonald train and start driving this, because I honestly think...
I've been writing about it all offseason.
You're the conductor. I'm sidecar with you. But if he can stay healthy, I know that's the bugaboo. I mean, we've said it a million times, but they're going to find ways to get mismatches on the field. He's not going to be just the inline three-point stance tight end like you saw more or less under Todd Haley with him and other tight ends. You know, he's going to be in the slot. He's going to be isolated backside in 3-by-1. And some of the 3-by-1, he'll be on the strong side. With Jesse James being the tight end with his hand in the dirt, and Vance McDonald split in the slot. So they're going to find ways to get McDonald the ball, find good matchups for him. And I know it's only day one, but you're just watching warm-ups. You're watching him in you know, team drills. You're seeing the differences with Randy Feetner. Again, they're not going to be super significant compared to Todd Haley, but this might be the biggest one. How they use their tight ends, where they align them, and how creative they get with them. I think you're going to see a change under that with Randy Feetner, and that's good news for Vance McDonald.
Boy, the games he missed last year, back, ankle, shoulder, knee. What am I missing?
He's operation. Just pick a spot.
Yeah, you know, don't touch the sides. But But yeah, I mean, and look, I mean, it was kind of a knock on him coming in. You know, we knew that, and this is a big, this is it for him. He's got to stay healthy and productive on the field this year, or else there is no 2019 for him at the salary. But I mean, if he does, and you know, the, Mike Tomlin hit on this after practice today, talking about it's nice to have him and Hayden, you know, on the train leaving the station with the rest of the team. Basically, you know, meaning this is the first training camp for these two teams. He's had, you know, obviously McDonald has not had a ton of work in practices during the offseason with Roethlisberger because, what, he was at one OTA and mandatory minicamp, and McDonald even missed, what, one or two of those practices there too. So it's important that McDonald stays on the field this whole, you know, from this point forward here, get plenty of work with Ben, because, you know, I'm with you. And the thing about him that I think people just don't talk about enough with him is – you can put him on the inner line of scrimmage. You can get a good, solid effort of a blocking tight end out of him as well.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job last year. I'm sure you agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. We wrote about it, especially in, you know, two tight end sets. Well, you know, whenever him and Jesse were on the field, how the yards per, you know, carry, or how Bell ran seemingly, and Connor too early in the season, both ran better with him on the field. So this is a guy that yeah, it's going to be interesting to see split out and all like that. Okay, what about the other tight end? We know who Jesse is, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically maxed out, but I do want to preface and say that it's not like Jesse James isn't getting any work with the ones he did today, and I think you're going to see some more two tight end sets where, again, Jesse's going to be the inline blocking type, McDonald's going to be the more receiving type. So it's not that James is going to be phased out entirely, it's just going to be a different use, and I think it's probably better for both guys. So you know who you have in Jesse, but again, the use might change. You're seeing some 12 personnel when you're having tight end split out in the slot. Let's get him on a linebacker instead, and you get some matchups there. Other guys, Grimble, you know, I thought, you know, Grimble, he's just got to make sure he's available. You know, he's had heat issues the last two training camps where he's missed practice because of the heat, and, you know, just hasn't always kind of hit that potential, but I think it's certainly there. And real quick with the other guys, I thought Fair McEver looked a little less raw than I expected. Christian Scotland Williamson, the rugby kid, the UK kid, did a nice job on the blocking sled. He's got to keep his eyes up, but better than I thought. And he's stiff as a route runner because he's so tall coming out of his stance. I thought Ryan Malik struggled a little bit on the blocking sled, and he got some work at fullback. So you're looking for a number two fullback because it's just Rosie Nix. It's probably going to be Ryan Malik.
Okay, talking about, let's go into the backfield now. We're not going to see Bell. Bell's probably seen his last days at Latrobe a couple years ago there. So, look, I mean, that's not overly a bad thing. I think Mike Tomlin kind of downplayed the depth. The quality of the depth chart at the running back position during his introductory press conference on Wednesday there. I wrote about it. Yeah, every year there's, you know, you look at it, you might like it a little bit better than others when it comes to overall quality top to bottom. But I think this is a nice group of running backs. I mean, obviously we expect James Conner to rebound from that knee injury. I mean, just looking at him this offseason, the physique and all, he looks cut. I mean, this is a guy that you're really looking to take a step forward this year. Excited to hear about how he does it in maybe backs on backers and just the little intricacies that we always talk about, going all the way back to Jonathan Dwyer. How do these guys do with the football not in their hands? We know James Conner can run with the football. We want to see the other stuff there. Jalen Samuels, I mean, intriguing just because of how he was used at North Carolina State alone. I mean, just how he was used and the kind of production that he had makes him intriguing. He obviously is getting full work now with the running backs. You wrote earlier today and in your report that he kind of moved him around already. I think he even got maybe a first team or two or three rep today. I'll let you talk a little bit about that. And talk about those guys. Javarian Franklin's no slouch out of WMU. You know, this is a guy that really legitimately might have. I mean, look, Terrell Watson, who had him making the 53 last year. So this is a guy to watch. And also the Summers kid that comes over, former undrafted free agent for the Arizona Cardinals, I think.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting group, and you have Ridley still, who I I don't know how much you want to get into it today, but I put four running backs on my 53-man roster, which I admit I really didn't plan on doing, but I just looked at the thing and thought they like Ridley, and I kind of had the spot available. So you have him, you have Toussaint, who's a known commodity. But yeah, you know, Samuel's got work with the first team today, mostly as a receiver kind of slot guy. But again, another example of them finding ways to get talent on the field, not putting guys in the one box and saying you're just a running back, you're just a receiver, you're just an inline tight end or what have you. They're going to find ways to get Samuels involved and see what they have in him at the very least to see if he's worthy of making this roster.
You obviously have got to get all these guys, you know, you want to look at as many of them as you can, as many snaps as you can. But, man, I really am hoping this preseason that we get to see a lot of James Conner, a lot of Jalen Samuels, at least, you know, in first halves of games. You know, leave those two guys in there. We know who Ridley is at this point of his NFL career. We know who Fitzgerald Toussaint is at this point of his career. We don't need to see those guys – you know, playing 8, 9, 10 snaps during a preseason game, if you ask me. But, you know, we need to sort this kind of thing out moving forward, because obviously when Le'Veon Bell does arrive at the start of the season, he's going to be your 95% snap guy. But it'd be nice to really get a good idea, I think, of what these two guys talking about, Kent Connor and Samuels, are during you know, during these next several weeks here. But I mean, does Connor look? I mean, what do you remember his body type? You know, what do you remember about Connor a year ago versus what you're saw today?
I mean, I'm bad at guessing weight, you know, to be honest. I try not to focus on it. But, I mean, he looks good. I mean, the injury, I think, is a non-factor. If you didn't know he had the torn MCL last year, you wouldn't have thought of it today during practice then. I thought he caught the ball well. And I agree wholeheartedly, Dave, that you're going to see plenty of Connor. You're going to see a ton of Connor. He's running first team now. He's probably going to lead the team in preseason carries, if I had to guess, because, again, you want to get a long look at him, get him in shape, and see what he can do. You're going to get a good look at Samuels as well. So I have no doubt that you're going to have some pretty strong evaluations on both of those guys. Other guys could be tougher. You know, Franklin, you mentioned, I know he's an interesting kid, but I think he's the sixth-string running back right now, which is pretty buried. I mean, injuries and stuff are going to help open that up, but I think he got – one carry today, maybe. So, you know, it's a bit of a churn for him right now.
Yeah, is he behind Summers, I guess? Or
it looked like, I mean, again, it's just day one, but yeah, it looked like he was behind Summers. So that's your sixth string back.
Yeah, these are going to be fourth quarter boys, but I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen some guys, you know, in past make some impacts in games. You know, none immediately come to mind, but you know, you go back a couple of years.
Watson, like you said, that's a good draw.
Watson. You know, had Tomlin's eye right away. It seems like. Okay, wide receiver. I mean, AB. This is a fun group. We already talked about Eli Rogers. We already talked about, you know, Justin Hunter. People know kind of where we stand on those guys. How did James Washington look in kind of his first, you know, real training camp practice against, you know, NFL quality competition? I mean, this isn't Big 12 guys playing off of him here, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I you know, again, evaluation process only gets you so far, but I think the moment didn't look too big for him. I mean, there were some ups, there were some downs, but he had a great downfield catch, beat Cody Sensabaugh for a leaping grab down the right sideline. He shows the ability to you know, extend his arms away from his frame and make some tough combative catches. And I think he had one broken up today, and that's going to happen early on. But running with the twos, I mean, it's hard to peg exactly because these guys mix and match so much, but you know, squarely with the twos right now, they're going to give Hunter the nod because he's the veteran and they like Justin Hunter. Washington's going to have to earn it, but for a first day, I thought it was good.
All right, Hunter was a Z, right? First team Z.
Well, it depends how you frame it. I mean, in two receiver sets, it's AB and Juju, but when they go three receiver, it was Hunter as the Z, Juju in the slot. So again, there's mixing and matching. But yeah, consider Hunter with the ones for the most part, Washington with the twos.
All right, and who else was with the? If you were to draw out the, is the depth chart pretty much how you drew it out on the site this past week?
I'd have to look. I think so, but me being right is a dangerous – doesn't happen too often. So I think first team would be AB as the X, Hunter as the Z, Juju as the Z, and then in three receiver sets, it's ABX, Hunter as Z, Juju in the slot. Second team would be DHB as the Z, Washington as the X, Tucker as the slot, and that's probably good enough for you.
Okay. And obviously guys like Griffey and – Thomas are going to be getting the scraps and all, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Patterson, I saw most mostly Patterson, a little bit of Tevin Jones, a little bit of Griffey. Thomas, I think maybe a couple reps, but I don't think I even saw Quadri Henderson take really any snaps on offense. I mean, again, it's day one. Injuries are going to bump guys up. You know, performance will change things. But yeah, it's going to be tough for those guys to crack. And I plan on probably after tomorrow's practice doing kind of a initial depth chart for where this whole thing's at to try to frame it better for people that aren't there.
All right, quarterback Big Ben. We joked top of the show there. Best shape of his life. I mean, looking at pictures and interviews and all, you know, he looks fantastic. I mean, looks like same old summertime Ben to me. You know, I think Landry. You probably weren't shocked that Dobbs was, technically third string, and Mason, I think, was fighting to get reps at the early portion of practice, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had in my depth chart, I had Rudolph as the three. That probably was a mistake on my part. Dobbs ended up being squarely the three. Dave, let me give you one of the Dave questions here. Guess how many reps it took for Mason Rudolph to take his first snap? Not even his just first throw, but just his first snap in team drills. How many reps did it take?
Yeah, I just know that you put a blurb up on it. 30.
You're good at this game. 34th rep, Rudolph came
okay.
in.
Okay, I just that's my shoes are off. What can I say?
just to give you an idea, and guys can move around. It's day one. You're expecting a rookie. It's not a shock that a rookie quarterback is the fourth string behind the other guys. But there's definitely a climb for Mason Rudolph here.
I'm glad they put him fourth. You know, that's where he belongs to start off. You know,
that's where most rookies start off. I mean, Watson being a
second. I mean, he's got to be chomping at the bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I understand his first pass attempt didn't go too well.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. I'm not 100% sure what happened, but he booted to the right. He had Nix in the flat. He was open, and either the ball just fell out of his hand or it got batted back into his face by Farrington Huguenin. And I'm not sure which it was. I just know that Rudolph, the ball came back at him, and he fell on the ground to get it like he fumbled. So he might have just slipped out of his hand, and I don't want Rudolph on the ground if I can avoid any dumb injury happening.
You know, I read what Mike Prisuta wrote on Steelers.com about it. It's sad that I might have to explain this play. Do you know the Garo Eupremian play in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the kicker when he tried to throw it and it just fell out of his hand. That's what it looked like. That's a great way to put
okay.
it. Yeah.
Well, that's
is that what happened to the ball come out of his hand and just didn't even get touched?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I think, the way Prisuta explained it on Steelers.com. So I've reached the age now where I'm afraid to say, to reference something that old. You know what I'm saying? People are thinking, what the heck is he talking about there? Okay.
How long ago was that? Was
oh, Lord, that's, eight,
seven?
Yeah.
No, eight. 78,
80? 70 something, early 70s, I think, right? You know, Redskins, Dolphins. So, okay. Anything else you'd like to talk about? I mean, how was the exchanges? Any balls on the ground?
Ben and Pouncey had a snap that didn't work early. That was weird. AB had a drop, which is even weirder. But I think generally it was clean. No bad exchanges with quarterback, running back, or at least nothing egregiously so. So, yeah, it was actually the veterans that struggled more than the rookies, which is pretty funny.
All right, obviously this being the inaugural kind of, you know, special edition training camp podcast, we're going to run along here. Moving forward, we need to try to keep these things, I think, for the folks around 30 minutes.
Yeah. You and I aren't good at running short, though.
One thing I'm not good at.
I'm right there with you.
And that's not rambling sometimes. Let's switch over to the we hit all the offense, right? Let's go over to the defensive side of football. You know, one name we haven't talked about a lot, probably because people don't like the way I say his last name, but Tyson Alualu. We haven't talked a lot about him really overall this entire offseason, but here we are. You know, thank God he's not on. You know, I was kind of worried maybe he'd be one of these surprise active PUP guys because we hadn't heard much about him during the offseason. I think maybe he had I thought I heard something where
he did miss, I think, some practice.
Yeah, I thought that was in the back of my head of why I thought maybe this is a guy that I'm going to, you know, have to write about being on PUP. Thank God he's not and all. But I think the biggest surprise of what you tweeted out today, and not even I have had a chance to read all of your notes up on SteelersDepot.com of a review of the practice today. Dan McCullough's running second team behind Javon Hargrave, I guess.
Yeah, but again, it's sort of by default right now because you have Frazier behind him, who's a rookie. So again, you know, you're going to defer to the veteran, usually how the Steelers operate. And, you know, LT Walton was the backup last year on game days, but he's running second team end, so you can't put him at no tackle and end. So McCullers kind of jumps in. But, you know, hey, we'll see if Dunbar can get something new out of him. I'm rooting for it. I just not really hopeful or not really expecting it to change.
You know, one thing I don't think we've written about or talked about it's really kind of insignificant, but what do you make of Cameron Hayward and that official position switch kind of DN to D defensive tackle? Do you think this is related to Pro Bowl, All Pro more than anything else? Or what do you make of him officially being now titled a defensive tackle versus a defensive end?
Yeah, maybe it is that. And he's playing 3-tech just as much as he's playing, you know, 4-eye or 5-tech. So, I mean, it's kind of just the truth of where he's lining up because you're in sub-package so much that you're not really playing the old school outside shade of the tackle anymore. So it's not only just an all-pro thing, it's probably just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, so I just found that. Yeah, we haven't, you know, like I said, it hadn't been anything we hit on yet. Look, I mean, if these guys can stay healthy, Tuitt and Cameron Hayward, you know, you and I talked about it, you know, a couple of shows ago on a regular podcast. There is, you know, last couple of years, one of these guys seems to be out of the lineup. You know, in fact, I wonder how many. Maybe that's something we need to research at some point here. Maybe this coming by the weekend here. You know, how many? What's the total percentage of snaps that those two have been on the field together the last two seasons?
Yeah, not enough. That I don't know the exact number, but not enough.
Yeah, I mean, these are your top two guys here. Okay, any thoughts about who ran where and with what group after, you know, the top five that we usually talk about?
I don't know if I have a list of that. It's kind of hard to see the defensive linemen. I saw Frazier get some nose tackle reps. I mean, there's just a lot of defensive linemen, Dave. There's 12 guys right now. And again, guys will get days off, guys will get hurt. But that's just a heavy spot. So, I mean, you have guys like Gilmore and Cothran just trying to rotate in for a nickel snap or two. So something I'll try to find out better for tomorrow.
And it's really hard to report on these guys that get one or two, three, four snaps, right? You know,
right, because guys rotate. Yeah.
Right. Okay. The switch is on. TJ, TJ to left, Bud to right. You know, Bud's one for one in practices. That's the key stat of the day, right?
He's what now? The new Golson, I guess, kind
of
sort
of. Yeah, one for one. Let's keep the running track of Bud. I wrote about that the other day, man. It's been last two preseasons. He's played. What did I write? 30. Total snaps during the preseason. Look, not that preseason's everything, but this guy's missed a lot of practice time and a lot of preseason snap time due to, you know, what was it, a core muscle a couple years ago and then a shoulder last year. And I think all 30 of his preseason snaps came last year. And then lo and behold, after that, he misses the opener on top of it there. So, look, we know who Watt and Bud Dupree are at this point. Tell us about the guys running after him.
Yeah, again, I don't have too much on the performance. And it's just tough to grade outside linebackers and team because you can't hit the quarterback. I think that kind of takes away the aggression a little bit. They didn't do O-line, D-line, or any sort of one-on-ones in that standpoint today, so not a whole lot there. But yeah, I didn't even see them flip back to their original spots. I saw Watt, left outside linebacker, Dupree, right only. Second team was Keon Adams, left outside linebacker, Chicolo, right outside linebacker, and then third team, Huguenin, left outside linebacker, and Adenier, the Toledo kid, 92, right outside linebacker.
Yeah, I'd like to. I mean, you know, Keon and Denier are two guys I'm really interested to watch and hear your reports on moving forward on through the training camp and the preseason there. All right, the big news. You know, we thought, and I think you talked about this as well too. Who is going to be the first team inside linebacker at training camp, and how are the reps in the nickel and all going to work out of there? Take it away.
Well, the battle's not over. I'm sure you can say that. But the front runner is Tyler Dirty Red Medicevich. Bostic got some work with the first team today, but Medicevich ran with the ones only. He took the first snap. He took the majority of the first team snaps at Mac linebacker. I know a lot of Steelers fans are going to be kicking and screaming. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm just saying the reality right now. And I think you said it best, Dave, the other day. It's Medicevich's spot to lose.
What are they doing in nickel? I mean, are they rotating kind of in that situation, or has it been to here? I think, or did you even kind of chart that today? I think Pursuta wanted to say that you know Bostic was the nickel guy along the way, or what? Did you notice anything related to sub package and to whether or not you know what those two were doing?
I can probably try to comb through my notes and try to reverse engineer this thing, like you say. I don't know for sure. That kind of makes some sense. Do you think that would really be the strategy, though, like long term, to be like that super stratified? That's a little dicey to me. Bringing in new guys, new communicators, trying to against no huddle. Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, we talked about how many times during the offseason we talk about is this going to be like a 16 man defensive unit? I mean, yeah, it really is. And look, if you're going to do that, you know, the thing about, I hate to go off on another tangent here, but you know, when you hear about James Harrison talk a little bit, other than talking about Mike Tomlin and all talking about the way, Belichick runs things over there, and the way they have specialized guys there, and one thing that I think that he praised Belichick for doing is fitting people in roles that they're best in, and rotating heavy rotation of guys there. And if you're going to do that, I mean, I'm fine with specialized NFL. I mean, you're getting to the point where you almost have to do that. But, boy, you better make sure you're on your P's and Q's when it comes to substitutions, getting these guys on and off in a timely manner, and then who's, the whole communication thing, which hasn't exactly been a Steelers strong suit in the last several years there. So, yeah, I'm not – I guess your question is, am I suggesting that you're going to go that specialized there? No. I mean, quite honest, I haven't given up hope that Bostic's going to eventually wrestle this spot away. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting that here we are. I mean, they're going to let Mattakavis try to lose this this spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, they could do specialized, but like you said, with the communication issues last year, you just got to be detailed about it. And, I mean, it makes sense. The college game is so specialized. These guys don't come in the NFL super well-rounded. They're doing, a certain sub-package or for a certain situation, so it makes some sense. But we'll see what happens. Again, it's day one. One other thing I wanted to mention with the inside linebackers, I know it doesn't mean much for the current 2018 team, but Ryan Shazier on the field today. That was a really cool sight to see, and to see him interact and be around his teammates.
Absolutely. And when we talk about when we kid, I don't even want to say we're kidding. 15 guys rotating, at different points. I mean, when you throw in starting, talk about the safety. I mean, look, Sean Davis, free safety, kind of what the speculation is going to be. But then you hear Mike Tomlin talk after practice today. Today's NFL safety, you got to be able to play single high, two high, down in the box, slot, blah, blah, blah. It's easier said than done, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Mike makes it sound like, how many years now have we heard? You go back to Dick LeBeau and on back, the lines are blurred, when it comes to safety. That's not necessarily true in Pittsburgh with their safeties, and I know Pro Football Focus had a stat about Sean Davis and him supposedly logging X amount of free safety snaps, but I think they need to revisit or at least let us know what they're defining him lining up as a free safety is, because according to your charting, and I kind of trust your charting, Alex, he played down low quite a bit last year.
Yeah, and to address both points, one, I mean, yeah, they're sort of interchangeable, but Sean Davis said this offseason, I think like 2 months ago, that he's never really played free safety before, and he would like the team to tell him where he's lining up. So if they were truly that interchangeable, he wouldn't be saying he hasn't played it before. He wouldn't be telling the team, can I kind of know where you're lining me up? Because it would just be a fine, whatever, put me in either spot. It's kind of the same. So I get what Tomlin's saying, but it's also kind of probably not totally true. And then with PFF, I mean, yeah, I don't want to go into them. I respect the work that they do. But, I mean, they had, basically 400 safety snaps for Sean Davis and said the rest came at slot corner or dime or whatever. That means like 500 snaps doing something other than safety. So I don't know how they define their stuff, but I mean, who was the free safety last year? It was Mike Mitchell. Anyone who watched a Steelers game knew the free safety 9 times out of 10 was Mike Mitchell.
Right. I'm not canceling my subscription. I mean, I love a lot of what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I disagree with a lot what they, you know, with what they do, a lot of what they do as far as some grades and all go too. But, you know,
we went through the coverage thing with Bostic. We saw some plays where like, how are you charging this guy with a target?
Yeah, and Artie too, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I broke those out. I didn't make it. I was hoping to get to Sean Davis, but that didn't happen there. But look, I mean, I like a lot what they do. I whoever was charting their games for them, they might want to take a deep look at that, because unfortunately, that's the problem when you have so many Indians running around in situations like that, trying to do the same same type of job. You're going to get differences of how they interpret different things.
Right. I think they had a lot of slot safety stuff that I considered. Or the slot corner that I put strong safety. I think that's maybe been one difference, but either way, I mean, you know, stuff's going to be a little different.
All right. So, but predominantly, as far as today goes, Sean Davis was predominantly your free, right?
Yeah, I think. I mean, I didn't take a lot of notes for that. I was just trying to see he was running first, second team. But yeah, I think that's how it went. I think that's how it's going to go, and that probably makes the most sense. Even though I'm not super thrilled about Davis moving again, I think that just hurts his growth and development. But you know, he's the better candidate than Burnett there, and then second team was Terrell Edmonds and Nat Burhe. Third team was Dangerfield and Malik Golden.
Boy, Dangerfield's just a guy. His agent gets mad every time we write something and don't talk about him making the.
Does he really?
Yeah, he tweets us all the time. Us, me and Matthew, I think. Every time we write about him, he really truly believes Dangerfield doesn't get much respect. If you will, I hate to use that pun there, but look, I mean, this guy. I mean, his work's cut out for Dangerfield, bless his heart. I mean, it's going to have to take something, I think, maybe to happen to Burre or something along those lines. So Burre was predominantly second team to Burnett?
Edmonds.
Edmonds. Oh, yep. to Edmonds, okay. Mm-hmm. So Edmonds was second team, though.
Yes, correct. It was Davis, Burnett first team, Edmonds, Burre second team.
Artie Burns had him in an interception today, and I actually saw this video of this play. Ben had no business throwing this ball. It was off coverage, kind of, what was it, a 12-yard out, something like that.
To it was the left late. Side. Heck.
And Ben late, and I mean, really, I mean, AB was on, you know, right almost on the feet of Artie Burns breaking outside when Ben throws that football. So it was a quick break. Look, you don't want to discount any turnover. I hope Artie Burns has 7 cheap interceptions telegraphed by a quarterback during the 2018 season. But I mean, you like to see those guys make plays. But on the flip side, I think he fell down at another portion. I think on 11 on 11, gave up a deep touchdown to AB. We're going to hear the back and forth between AB and Artie Burns all summer long. Going to do both those players well. Obviously, on the other side, Joe Hayden. This is another guy that Mike Tomlin mentioned today, and it goes without, it needs mentioning again. McDonald and Hayden are two guys that weren't at training camp last year, and these are two guys that once you got into the regular season, missed a lot of games due to injury. So it's good to have Joe. The best thing about Joe Hayden too is he tweeted about this, I think, or interviews or whatnot. This is the first off season in a couple off seasons that he hasn't had to recuperate from a surgery. So that's that's pretty big. I mean, could we see kind of a 2000? When was the last good year for him? 2014? Is that right?
Sounds about right.
I mean, a 2014 season out of Hayden playing in all 16 games wouldn't be bad at all. And if Artie can, you know, if Artie can just stop some of the, you know, boneheadedness, you know, at times, you know, maybe he'll turn the corner as well too. But I thought the biggest thing that you put on Twitter today, talking about Cameron Sutton, and how kind of like the ultimate chess piece.
Yep, you read my mind. That's the direction I was going to go in. Yeah, Burns had a nice interception. Credit to him, first one at camp. But yeah, Sutton, again, and I don't think it's a surprise, especially if you've been reading, you know, anything from Steelers Depot, is that he's going to be someone that's probably the next man up at any spot. I was playing slot corner, second team, left corner with a third team, and you probably play with some right corner as well. And you know, we'll see where he might fit in a dime. I did not see the Steelers run dime today, so I don't have a great feel for where that pecking order is at right now. But yeah, a guy that's going to have the trust and for a second-year guy, it's pretty rare, but have the trust to wear any hat he's needed.
And then Mike Hilton's Mike Hilton, right? I mean, who was running behind Hilton's second team? Was it Sutton?
Sutton and then Deshaun Phillips' third team. And real quick, I don't hold me to this, but I swear I saw Hilton get a snap at safety at the end of practice today. I don't know if I just missed something or what, but I saw Marcus Allen out there, and then I saw Hilton next to him, and I was like, okay, is he at nickel or what? But I swear he was at safety, so just throwing it out there.
So Marcus Allen, where was he in the pecking order of the safeties?
Pretty low, like fourth team that doesn't really exist, where he's kind of just trying to switch off with either Dangerfield or Golden. I'm not sure which, to try to get some reps. So he's a little buried right now.
Yeah, okay. And I'm not going to reading way too much into pecking order this early, blah, 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 injuries we know happen, this kind of thing. But it's not impossible, as I like to say, that Marcus Allen doesn't make this roster, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can have a scenario. It's a fifth-round pick. We've seen fifth-round picks miss it before. We've seen guys drafted higher miss it before. So, I mean, I think he's going to make it, but no guarantees.
What kind of – I'm sure guys like Joshua Frazier and Greg Gilmore, Matthew Thomas, the guy that – you know, if there's a defensive side of football, Marcus Tucker, you know, probably be – even though Marcus Tucker's a little bit older undrafted guy, a lot of buzz about Matthew Thomas. I'm guessing these guys didn't get a lot of snaps on day one.
Thomas actually got a decent amount. Frazier and Gilmore seem to get – pretty little. Again, it's really crowded there. But yeah, Thomas was, consider him third team with Darnell Leslie, who I thought was going to be an edge guy. It looks like he's kicking inside. But Thomas got some decent runs today.
That's a little bit of a development there with Leslie, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I thought he just was an edge rusher at Monmouth and in Dallas. But yeah, I guess because they're just crowded at outside, they want to put him inside. But he was, and Leslie got some pretty decent burn today, too.
Kelsey?
Kind of, I think he's behind him. Like, you have your top teams of, like, you know, first team Williams and Medikevich, second team Fort and Bostic, third team Thomas and Leslie. And then, I mean, again, it was like the third and fourth team sessions, you were getting some more Kelsey, some more Golombos. But I think that today they're behind Thomas and Leslie, which isn't great signs for them.
And, you know, Golombos didn't have a bad camp/early preseason last year, right?
Mm-hmm. He made it over Kelsey, and then he got hurt, and they brought Kelsey back.
Right, right, right. Boy, he's running that late now, too, huh? LJ Fort, where is he in the pecking order?
I guess third team. Again, there is some mixing and matching there. I mean, if you're adding Leslie inside, that's another guy. I mean, they're like, how many inside linebackers do they have? Eight, maybe? I think I'm not doing the math right now. So there's going to be some mixing and matching to try to get guys reps, but I think you can call Fort third team right now.
Yeah, is this the part of the podcast where we put a disclaimer?
Or second, should I put second team? Second team with Bostic, I should say, Ford.
This is a part of the podcast where we should put the disclaimer out that, and it's not uncommon. I mean, we could be talking about a totally entirely different pecking order tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, and guys will move around, and performance is going to change that stuff. So, you know, once the pads come on, then you can really properly evaluate these guys. And if guys step up, you know, Watson last year did well, had that great goal line work in the Heinz Field family practice that kind of maybe helped cement his spot on the team. So it's very early. I don't want to overreact, but it is important to note these things. So when things change, and they will, you can say, hey, things are changing, and this is what happened before, this is what's happening now.
All right, give us some highlights from the 11-on-11.
Well, Burns' interception was probably one of the top plays. Seven shots. The offense won 4-3. They had the craziest play where, I forget it was Landry or Ben, threw a slant over the middle. It got popped up 15 feet in the air. It hit, like, every player on the roster's hands, and then Marcus Tucker somehow came away with it for a touchdown. I have no idea how that happened. Probably the biggest ones. Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else that was super big. James Washington's nice catch. Cody Sensabaugh had a nice breakup in Washington, seven shots. And then James Washington got him back later in a full team session. So, again, it shorts and shells, not going to see a whole lot. You know, it's primarily a passing session because you can't do a whole lot of running the football without any sort of tackling or physicality. But a good day of work today.
What'd you go in today hoping to accomplish?
Just trying to learn where guys are lining up and who's playing who, because I'm the team, not new to them. For beat guys, they were there for the spring, probably a lot of the same stuff. But for someone like, you know, me on the outside looking in, you're just trying to see who's second team offensive line, who's running, you know, Medikevich and Bostic, who's playing third team nickel and yada yada. So I'm just trying to get familiar these first 2 days, where guys are at, and then when the Pats go on Saturday, the real fun begins.
What do we do? Do we do winners or losers or ups or downs last year? What did we call it? Do you remember?
I think it was winners and losers. I don't have a loser today because it's day one. I'm not going to call anyone a loser. I'll be generous. But I thought Connor, McDonald, Burns had good days. And again, for McDonald, seeing how multiple they're using him, how many hats he's wearing, I think that's really boding well for his involvement in the offense. So if you want to talk about a big winner today, not necessarily in performance, but in use and how that's going to carry over once these things start to matter, it's going to be Vance McDonald.
We joked about Bud Dupree. Does Bud Dupree look healthy? Does he look, ready to go here?
Yeah, he looked fine. He took every snap today, and I hope that stays that way because I didn't realize that. Only 30 career preseason snaps. Yeah, that sets you back a big way.
Well, not career. The last 2 years.
Oh, last 2 years. Okay, right, well,
right,
still.
Right.
Still.
And all 30 of those came last season because he remember he
– the groin.
The core muscle, cost him that all that preseason before there. So, look, we gold star every time Bud Dupree on the practice field during training camp, I think, because this is a guy that – you want to talk about a guy that really needs to turn the corner this year. It's him.
Literally turn the corner.
literally, with some bend, with a little bit of bend, included in that as well too. All right, we need to wrap this up. Any final thoughts?
I'm going to get some McChicken. That's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to get out here and get some food in my belly.
Why don't you give Lynn a plug? How many years is this for Lynn with touring plans? And they're a big part of what we do, and they really fund your, gas and eating money every year as well, too. So why don't you give Lynn a plug?
Yeah, Lynn's been fantastic. It's been several years now for him and the Senior Bowl stuff that we do. Touringplans.com, if you're planning a trip to Disney, I'm sure that's a hallmark for a lot of families. Hit up Touring Plans, hit up Lynn, Lynn Testa, T-E-S-T-A. You can find him on Twitter there. He's been a big help. Thank you, everybody that's done the donation and the GoFundMe. Again, think of it as a tip jar, not a we need this money, but we certainly appreciate it nonetheless. I think I've written back to everyone that donated up until today, and then thank Tim Rice, our photographer, taking some great photos that you'll be seeing on the site here next couple weeks.
Absolutely, and that's another thing I have to do tonight, I think, is upload his first gallery from Thursday, along with getting this the podcast up for you people as well, too. This was an hour show. They're not going to be like this moving forward. Obviously, we know people don't have the time to listen to four or five podcasts a week in an hour. We'll try to keep these things in about 30 minutes moving forward from here as well, too. So in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex Kozora on Twitter at Alex_Kozora. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, TerriblePodcast@gmail.com. David Todd and I should be back at it Friday morning with another full version here. So sleep light, if you will. And Alex will be back with me tomorrow night to review what happened Friday at Steelers training camp in Latrobe. And as always, thanks for listening to this special edition of the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Alex Kozora. Good night.